Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said one place where people seem to think they can get as much as ever for a quarter is in the church. We're happy again to have the privilege of Bible study, and we're very glad that you're listening to our Bible Meditations program. The Bible is a great book, and study of the Bible is never something that we run out on. We can constantly learn things from the Bible that will be helpful to us in living a life that pleases God and eventually a life that will be pleasing to us in its end results. So we're glad that you're studying the Word of God with us today. This week we're talking about understanding the will of the Lord. What does the Bible say about the matter of unity? It would be foolish for a person to argue that there is no division among religious people. You can obviously see that division exists among religious people everywhere. Every community has a number of different churches. They're not all speaking the same thing. They're speaking different things, and they're divided. They do not meet together as one body. They meet as separate bodies, and they all teach their own doctrines and follow their own thoughts along those lines. That being the case, we're divided. And as a result of that division, we simply do not meet the approval of God. Let's look at a few verses that relate to this particular matter. First of all, in the great book of Proverbs, chapter 6, beginning with verse 16 through verse 19, the writer of the Proverbs simply says, six things are abomination to God. Now let's stop and think about that word abomination. Does that mean something that God's happy with? Something that God approves of? Or would you get the idea this is something that God wants nothing to do with? God wants us to turn it down because it's repulsive unto Him. All right, six things are abomination to God. And then he amends that statement by saying, yea, seven. There are seven things that he's going to mention that are abomination to God. One is a proud look, and another is hands that shed innocent blood, a lying tongue, feet that be swift to run to mischief, an evil heart that deviseth evil or wicked imaginations. Then the last thing that he mentions, well, he says a prophet or a witness that speaketh lies, and then one that soweth discord among brethren. What a terrible thing it is for us to have discord sown among us. These things are not only repulsive to men, but they're repulsive to God. This is an abomination to God when someone sows division among brethren. Well, it's not hard to see that that kind of division exists in the world about us. But for us to talk about it being a good thing that we're divided seems to miss the point, doesn't it? It seems to miss the fact that God said, I don't want anything to do with division. I want people to turn away from their religious division. Well, the passage then in Proverbs chapter 6 tells us of seven things that repulse God. One of them is division. Well, I would be amiss if I would tell you God said he doesn't want anything to do with division, but I don't see anything wrong with it. I think it's all right if you be divided. Obviously, I would be in contradiction to what God has said about it through the inspired prophet of God. Well, the fact is that God doesn't want division. Even though there are those who tell us, Oh, it's a good thing for everybody to have his own idea in religious matters. That never was the plan of God. Notice another passage. This is found in the 17th chapter of the book of John. In this chapter, Jesus is praying to his Father in heaven. Once in a while, someone will refer to the prayer or the teaching that Jesus did in Matthew 6 and say that's the Lord's Prayer. It goes something like this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so forth. And so they say that's the Lord's Prayer. Well, in essence, it is not the Lord's Prayer. It's what the Lord taught his disciples to pray. Pray after this manner, Jesus said. And so that was not necessarily the prayer he was praying, but he was teaching his disciples how to pray unto God. All right, go to chapter 17 of the book of John, and you have the Lord praying. This is his prayer to the Father in heaven. Now, as he prayed, he was concerned about his apostles. He was concerned about the fact that very shortly he would be leaving them and that they would not have his direction and instruction any longer, except in the word that was left for them. And so he prayed for them, and he prayed that the devil not be able to overcome them, but that they could overcome the evil one. Then as he prayed, he made this observation in verses 20 and 21. Neither pray I for these alone. Now that's the apostles. I'm not just praying for them, Jesus said, but for all of them who believe on me through their words. Now think about that. Let me make this observation. The prayer of Jesus was not just for the apostles, but it's for all believers in Jesus Christ. That would include those of us who are believers today, wouldn't it? His prayer is for us. What's he praying for? He's praying that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. In other words, he said, I'm not just praying for my apostles. I'm praying in the future for every person who believes on me. But notice the next statement that he makes, through their words. Through whose words? The apostles. Those who believe on me through the apostles' words. Doesn't that confirm again what we've said in regard to the matter of unity? Unity cannot be attained through the words of some man. They cannot be attained through the words of some group of men, some church or some synod, or some group of people who decide they're going to legislate in regard to religious matters. Unity can only be obtained through the words of the apostles. So the Bible then plays the very important role of being the guidebook that helps us to come to unity, does it not? The fact is, we're not united because we've looked to other standards instead of the Word of God. Instead of us taking our Bible and determining that we will not do anything unless it's in the Word of God, we will not say anything unless it's in the Word of God, that ought to be the rule and the standard. And Jesus prayed for that unity to exist, that we all be one. I've heard people before now make a statement like this. Yes, Jesus prayed that we all be one, but we all know that that can't happen. My friends, that doubts the veracity of the Word of God. It doubts whether or not the statement that the Lord made was a genuine, sincere statement. Do you mean to tell me Jesus prayed a lie? Jesus prayed for us to be one, and we ought to be working to that end. We appreciate being with you today and remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.